and welcome to Those Porking Fangirls Chapter Chat, where today we will be diving into House of Flame and Shadow, Chapters 41 through 43. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
How you doing with these chapters, Natasha? Are you excited to dig in?
I am. I didn't think there was going to be that much in there, but there is. There's always something to talk about.
There's always enough to talk about.
Yeah, because yesterday we were planning and she's like, let's just do these three. It's like an hour in the audiobook. I'm like, is that enough?
It's always enough. And we're double recording this week, so it's enough.
Yay, oh, Katie's here.
Katie's here. All right, well, we left off on the cliffhanger of Bryce teleporting in on this Ocean Queen meeting. And the first sentence is, Hunt had left his body. Maybe he died. That was Bryce in the doorway smirking at the Ocean Queen. Yeah, no shit.
I just have to point out.
In a soft white t-shirt.
Yeah, this outfit that she's wearing. Okay, so like.
What do you mean?
Hunt says that. Well, first of all, Hunt says something that there's something different about Bryce.
Well, she looks older, but like not in any wrinkly way, but in her eyes, just like him, like she's been through some shit.
How do you know that? Okay.
It's the look on her face, the set of her jaw, Natasha. It says, I've been through some shit. She got it tattooed across her forehead.
So she is wearing her outfit, as Hunt describes, is a soft white t-shirt topped with a navy athletic jacket. Hell, she even sported those neon pink sneakers. That wasn't she wearing them all through the first half? Was that her outfit?
Yeah, she was. Did she change them in at the all?
Did she change?
Well, I think she's just wearing the same shoes. I don't know what she was wearing in Rice and Land, but. She was wearing the shoes, I think.
Katie says, really makes you miss ACOTAR fashion. Truly.
Yeah. And she's wearing like leggings, I think, in the Rice and Land. And now she's wearing like skin tight pants. So maybe it is leggings.
What a boring outfit aside from the pink sneakers.
She just wants to be comfortable. She wants to be comfortable. She's fighting the evil overlords.
This is how she shows up as queen, which, by the way, she announces herself as the queen of the Valbaran Fae.
Yeah, and the Ocean Queen's like, I've never heard of you. Imposter queen, does the king still live? And she's like, for now.
So, but this is like the first time Hunt and Bryce are like seeing each other after... I don't know.
After
weeks?
She disappeared through very dramatically at the end of book two.
Yes. Yeah. How did you feel about like this first reunion of them?
I mean, I think we talked about how I loved this. We both loved this scene, right?
Like I liked when she came in and announced herself, but then like I was like, oh, I want like a little bit more. But after like reading it the second, like the first time I was like, that's it. But now reading it the second time, I kind of got a few more details of this reunion.
I guess because I don't care much about her relationship with Hunt anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't have that strong of a reaction. I did love her reunion with Rune that comes in a little.
Yes. So
very soon.
So yeah, she reunites with Rune in the next chapter. And I was like, well, why didn't we get something like that with Hunt?
Well, because Hunt was in the room and
they're like trying to be political.
They're trying to be chill with the queen. Yeah. So the queen's like, does your father, the Autumn Queen King, still draw breath? And she smiles and she literally has hooked shark's teeth. What the fuck?
Oh. The like, Ocean Queen does? I missed that.
It's literally it says she smiles and you can see all her hooked shark's teeth. Why? And she says, I don't remember inviting you. And Bryce looks at her nails and she's like, well, someone sent me an evite. and the queen is like, I don't know what that is.
Katie says, I picture the Ocean Queen like one of those horrific deep sea creatures in the Mariana Trench.
I was just watching a bunch of TikToks about them like last night. So I feel
what
that.
What side of TikTok are you guys watching?
There's like
these sea creatures.
There's like these marine biologists who go down deep and they take videos of them and they're all like, what is that? Oh my goodness.
I feel like I stumble across those on like Twitter, but never on my TikTok feed. Mm-hmm. All right. So she explains where she's been. She's like, I have the horn. I went to the OG world of the Fae. Mm-hmm. The Asteri infected the water here. And it makes it so that we have to do the drop or else we'll lose our powers and die. And she's like, did you know? Like to the Ocean Queen, because she looks like she knows. But the Ocean Queen says she didn't know. But she did wonder if something was up, since even mm-hmm. under the water, her people weren't protected from the drop. The Ocean Queen wants to know how the fuck Bryce is planning to evict the Asteri from their world. And Bryce tells her, well, I am planning to get Hell to help us. And she's like, you would trust Hell? Mm. You're trading one evil for another. And it's just this, the Ocean Queen feels like she's older and wiser and like has done everything and knows that the only real way to escape is going to be to evacuate. And yeah.
That was not a good thing to say.
It wasn't taken well by Bryce because she just watched that same thing happen mm-hmm. very traumatically with her ancestor Celine's memory thing. Mm-hmm. and she's like, and how would you choose? How would you choose who gets to stay and go? What, your people? Our families? That's bullshit! Leave everyone else to be eaten by the Asteri? So, yeah. Katie says, to be honest, I trust Hell more than anyone in Midgard, and me too. The Hell people have been trying to get rid of the Asteri this entire time. Like, they've been very forward, and they've been consistent with what side they lie on. And that side is against the Asteri.
Well, I mean, except when they came through the gates in the first book. That's...
Well, I feel like... What was going on there again?
He like explains it like he's like, oh yeah, those were the people. They don't worry about them.
I feel like they weren't them though. They were like their creatures, and they didn't have a handle on their creatures, right? But I forget why they came through. Like, what was the reasoning?
I don't remember. We'll come upon it soon.
It like Micah opened up the rift and he accidentally opened it to Hell, and that's why those creatures came through, and they came through with no notice and no. Direction, so they just attacked because they're just like, those are not the princes, they're just those like creatures that they wield mm-hmm. like a bunch of their dogs. That's how I viewed it. The Ocean Queen suggests evacuating. Bryce and Hunt are like, no way, fuck no. Bryce notices that Hunt has the halo on again, and mm-hmm. she's very upset, obviously, understandably.
Well, then like the Ocean Queen admits or let them know that, you know, that the mayor have been here way before.
Oh yeah,
since before the Asteri
came.
And she's like, well, I thought only the humans were here. She's like, no, we've been here just as long or longer.
Coexisted. Mm-hmm. And her kingdom was huge, and the islands got swallowed up along with the magic of the land, the heart of the land, when the Asteri came.
Yeah. I mean, this whole like argument between Bryce and the Ocean Queen starts like a pissing war between them, because she's like, she demands them to get dropped off at Avalon.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, Bryce does.
Yeah, and she's like, and Bryce goes, look, I know nothing is free, but for fuck's sake, let's talk plainly. Again, these lines, if this ever gets adapted, it's got to be read by a good actress.
It's not going to, she's not going to talk like this. Because there's just too, she drops too many F-bombs too. Oh, she kind of steps on the queen's toes because the queen has been fighting against the Asiri for like eons. Mm-hmm. And Bryce is like, we need to do this right now. It has to be done now. And she's like, when you're young, everything has to be done right now. Everything's so urgent. Mm-hmm. But I've been there, done that. She's like, what was it all for? Helping Ophion, helping this, doing this, like nothing. You just want to run away. You can't.
Yeah, I had like flashbacks to when Harry to Snape was like, you coward.
True.
I was like, you know nothing, young chap.
Yeah, she goes, you are young and idealistic and inexperienced. And then Bryce goes, don't forget, ill-qualified and always inappropriately dressed.
Bryce, in these moments, just comes out so petulant. So anyway, the queen basically, you know, she is older and wiser and she takes the high road in this stance. She's like, okay, I'll drop you off at Avalon, but just remember, when all this goes to shit and you realize you can't get rid of the Asiri, please take my people first when yes. you have to evacuate.
Also, she subjects Therion to be...
Held. He has to stay on the ship. Yeah, he's basically on house arrest because he's a liability at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then we go into chapter 42. Do you want to take us through?
Yes. So as soon as they close the door behind the Ocean Queen, the room like erupts in questions. And they're like, you went to the other Fey world? What the heck? You're a queen. And so Hunt, this is weird. Like Hunt closes the door very softly and then he leans against it and he's like, book talk way. And he like gives her a calm look. And again, I was just, come on. Like I wanted a little bit something more from now that, you know, she's gone and everyone can be whatever
themselves. Yeah.
But they share a moment and she knows that he can't wait to get her alone and her toes curl. Immediately she asks where Rune is and she gets caught up on Lydia and that I think she tells her that Lydia they tell her that Lydia has sons here.
Well she's like, wait, Rune's with Lydia? Like, yeah. She just like doesn't get it.
Yeah. And but before like everything can be explained, like Rune comes blasting through the door panting. And at that point, Hunt like throws up a wall of lightning in front of Bryce because he thinks like it's some threat.
Wow, I didn't catch that.
I didn't either the first time. And I was like, oh my Lord. Okay. but they have like a really like such a good like reuniting scene and they hug like brother and sister.
It's sweet. Mm-hmm. Yes. And
oh, Rune tells them that Lydia is awake and has kids.
Yes. And they're like, how did she hide them?
Yeah. Baxine asks if the kids are Pollux's and then Rune's like, they don't have wings.
Rune is in a weird place right now.
Yeah. And there's more questions too of like how she got there, what happened. She explains to them that she got there through teleportation, that she just wanted to go to her mate.
Well, and she has all these like ushy gushy stuff. She says like what Hunt said to her when she was leaving. He was like, I'll always find you across our love spans universes and worlds and blah blah blah. And he was like, how did you get here? And she's like, I teleported. Our love will always find each other across worlds. You know, all this stuff is not like hitting with me because I just like don't care. Yeah. About their love, which is sad.
I don't either. The stuff I do care about is Lydia and Rune. Which is like in the next chapter.
Yeah, they've got a good scene in the next chapter.
Yeah. And then it ends with they are headed to Avalon and King Morvan will let them in because she has the Autumn King's secrets in the little notebook that she stole from her dad.
Yeah, her daddy's notebook. 43, we go back to Lydia and her sons. Lydia Servos stared at her sons. Their mare foster parents were seated on either side of them, watching her with predatory focus. Davit and Renki are the names of the adopted parents. And her son's names are like Octagon and Bran. Wait, Acetone?
Acteon. Acteon.
It's Acteon. You just said acetone and octagon.
It basically is a combination of acetone and octagon, let's be honest.
They call him Ace, which is a much better name than either of those.
Yeah, but the first couple times are like, Acteon. And I'm like, why is his name Acteon and the other one's name Bran? So, yeah, they're with Director Kugani as, like, a chaperone with the mayor parents, who I can only imagine are, like, wide-eyed, like, oh, my God, please don't traumatize our sons again.
Oh, yeah, after she came in, like...
after she had her psychotic episode.
And was definitely not okay.
No, she's not okay. She was just completely out of character. Yeah, Katie said these fucking kids were so random. They really were.
This is really giving, like, Wanda and what's his face's
kids. Her random kids?
Yeah, her random kids. But they are in the comics. But still, like, because you don't know who the father is. Where do they come? They come out of magic, or are they just magic kids? And they feel like they're like the young Avengers.
Acetone is like, you're not our real mom.
Katie says, I'm obsessed with the gay mermaid dads, though. Yes.
They seem like great parents, so that's really nice for them to know.
Yeah, they immediately, like, everyone's on edge, and they all think that she's going to be taking them away from their parents. I'm like, don't they have laws in this world, Brett, that
they're
can't
not
happen?
Be taking them away. Like, do we have to go live with her? No. She's a stranger to them, as she will soon say, but she says to them, you're exactly as you were as infants, which also kind of made me laugh. I was like, no, they're not. She hasn't seen them since they were 18 months old. I guess maybe she's talking about, like, their overall demeanors.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think, well, at 18 months, like, they might have been walking, you know.
Yeah,
like, if I think of my nephew, like, he still has some of the same like, his personality is very similar to when he was a little baby.
Yeah, but he's not a 14-year-old yet.
Are they 14?
Yeah, they're in ninth grade.
Oh, shit.
They're like early teens.
Oh, that's weird. I thought I was, like, picturing them as, like, 11-year-olds.
No, they're teenagers.
Oh, ew.
Unless I completely misinterpreted this, but I thought she said their age. Well, they were like 14.
They also talk about, I think I'm going to skip ahead here a little bit, but you can go back. Like, Rinky goes up to her and he's like, yeah, like, Ace is just so smart and we're really trying to get him into higher education, but there's just not much going on here. And they didn't really understand when they were younger, like, growing up with the mer people and how they couldn't just jump into the water and swim for ages. But Ace, like, created like goggles and ways to breathe under the water or something like that. And
wait, is that in this chapter?
That's in this chapter. And then she goes, oh, yes, I remember that. And she goes, yeah, he used to take apart all of his toys.
Oh, man. And the other one was just, like, really sweet and athletic, right?
Yeah.
Is that one acetone or Bran? I'm getting
confused. That's Bran. Bran is
a C. You see what you see is what you get kind of guy. Natural athlete, fearless, quick to anger, quick to laugh. He does okay in school, but right now he's more interested in hanging out with his buddies. He's a stereotypical jock, and we're content to let him be who he is.
Honestly, that sounds like my cousins, Will and Wes. Like, Wes is such a jock. Not that they both aren't, but, like, Will's, like, stupidly smart.
Mm-hmm. That's how it tends to be. There's, like, one really good athlete and one really, like, brainy.
Didn't brainy happen one. With me and my brother.
No, I just mean in books. A lot of the time,
that's true.
They tend to do, like, the opposite end of the spectrum as far as, like,
they're what twins, they're good at. Right?
Yeah, they're twins. They're twins. We don't really know what they look. I guess they look like Lydia. So they're blonde.
One has blonde hair, because I remember him saying that. So one of the mer dads comes up to her and tells her, like, he's a medic and he was actually one of the ones who brought her in, and mm-hmm. that weirdly enough, they somehow remember you because they talk about how their mom has the hair of Bran and like the face of Ace or something like that.
Oh, weird. Mm-hmm. They've never seen pictures. They just remember.
They just remember somehow. I don't know. They're magic.
Just remember.
At 18 months, they remembered.
18 months. Well, they're not human, so who are we to know? So then Lydia leaves and runs into the Ocean Queen, or meets with the Ocean Queen. And the Ocean Queen is like, so everyone's going to get off at Avalon, and so are you.
She is very odd to see her obey and like bow down to her. You know, compared to what we just saw with
But she's
Bryce.
Like, I have to, she just done everything for me. And
yeah.
She has to listen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so basically she's like, she reins in her emotions, but she's super upset. But she's like, I have to be the Hind again. Mm-hmm. And she has to leave her kids again. She's like, you saw your kids, so be thankogenous that you even saw them.
Oh, I forgot about this part. This was kind
what
of
part?
Odd.
What?
So after they're talking about what's going to happen, like she's not going to take them away from their parents, but she still mm-hmm. wants to see them after her work is done, but she doesn't know if her work is going to last forever. And then they know that she's, the Hind, and that her boyfriend is the Hammer. And she goes like, he's not my boyfriend. And then Acetone goes, you're fuck buddy. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, they're teenagers.
Yeah, well, me thinking that they're 11 years old and saying fuck buddy. Didn't know they were 14.
Let's see. Katie says, after reading the book, I went down a rabbit hole, and Avalon, or Avalon, is an Arthurian mythical island of the Fae. And there's a famous story of a character named Tristan, so I'm keeping a close eye on him in future books. Wait,
Tristan?
We know
there's
someone
already
named
a Tristan.
Tristan.
There's already a Tristan in the book. Tristan Flynn.
Tristan. His name's Tristan?
I think so.
Interesting. Hmm. They don't say it many times, so maybe there is a connection.
Yeah, Tristan Flynn.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Thank you for sharing that, Katie.
That is interesting.
Also,
Katie's got all sorts of tidbits.
Avalon is the city on Catalina Island here in California. So,
but it's Avalon.
Yeah, but she says, or Avalon, which is, I think, the Arthurian word.
Avalon is also a city down the shore in New Jersey.
Interesting. Well, my Avalon is on an island, just like Avalon.
My Avalon is where Jenna's family has a house. All right. So after this meeting, the queen is like, you loathe me. And she says it as if delighted. I'm like, what? I can't get a read on this woman. Like, and Lydia shoved every bit of despair, defiance down deep. Her feelings didn't matter, only Acetone and Bran. And her tone, like, she kind of like goes empty. She becomes the Hind, like, physically, and shoves her soul away and says, tell me what I must do. So Rune is like pacing around. He's like, maybe I should go to the gym and work off some of the stress. And he goes out of his room to go to the gym and runs right into Lydia. And he's like, oh, hi. Did you talk to your sons? And she's like, yes. And he was like, oh, I'm about to go to the gym. How are you feeling? And she's like, stronger. He's like, why is she being so cold to me? And then Lydia kind of turns on him when he tries to be like lighthearted, because she says she's been moved to the room across the hall from him. And he's like, oh, is this fit for Agent Daybright? Like, these digs aren't good enough for you. And she is like, why do you care about me? Excuse me, I thought you didn't want to hear my sob story. And now that, like, I fit the archetype of, like, a woman who's a mother mm-hmm. in stress, you want to talk to me? Like, you want to know my sob story, as you put it? And He gets so defensive and says all the wrong things.
Ugly. It's ugly. It's brutal. Yeah. And it made my blood boil.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she
snapped back and she goes, I wanted you to listen, but you wouldn't. Yet now that I fit some sort of acceptably sad female backstory, you're willing to hear me out.
Well, and then he's like, well, normally when a male finds out that the woman they're interested in has kids, they run away. And I was like, oh no, you did not just say that, Rune.
And she goes, that's male strength for you.
And he's like, excuse me, sweetheart, you seem to like my strength before. It really reminded me of that scene from Legally Blonde. He was like, don't tap your last season Prada shoes at me, honey. I was like, Rune, do you know how to talk to a lady? You don't. You know nothing.
No. Well, and like the whole time he was like thinking about her too, like right before. And this is how he handles the situation.
Yeah. Well, then he's like, so what's the sob story when she doesn't respond? And I was like, you are not getting the sob story. And she just says, you don't deserve to hear it. And I was like, you really don't, man. That was some dickish ass behavior that you just showed.
Yeah, Katie says it is a good point though, like why wasn't she worthy of sympathy until you realized she had kids? Like, oh, she's human and now you to you now because she's a mother.
Yeah, because that's the only acceptable thing for a female to be. It's there. He's also been steeped in like patriarchal misogyny his whole life, so.
Well, yeah, and like that was the one of the main points she brought up was the fact that like why couldn't she have just done what she did for the greater good, not because she was trying to save or help
her sons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Rune has been so petulant as well, just like his sister, through this whole thing with Lydia, like being like, I don't want to talk to you, while he's like chained up with no one to talk to. He's got someone on the inside and he won't communicate with her, even though she's clearly like, I'm on your side, let me in so I can help you. It's very frustrating. So
very childish.
It's very childish. He's had it coming. He's been so annoying this whole time. Like the whole escape where he's like, finally, as she's leaving and about to die, he's like, wait, Lydia? Is that you? Oh my God. He's thinking about like when he runs into her, he's like, we haven't actually had sex, but like we had sex with their souls. And she's acting like we didn't.
Yeah. I wonder why.
I wonder why. You were acting like you didn't either. You're dead to me? I recall you saying you're dead to me verbatim. And then you said you meant it while you were sitting by her bed.
I cannot with him. I just don't understand. Yeah. Katie goes,
Rune? Oh, what are you saying?
Katie says, I blocked the brain sex from book two. And this was a jarring reminder.
I blocked it out too.
I didn't.
That was the part where like he was talking about her fondling his balls, like his soul balls. And I just didn't like it. I don't like hearing about their balls. We hear about their balls so much, like tightening and shit. And I'm like, ugh. And like the balls slapping against like whoever they're fucking. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that. Please. The milking. Oh my God. Yes. Their scene was like the iconic, like he talked about milking her.
What?
Or something. I talked about it in my like TikTok because I couldn't even listening to the audiobook. I was like, milking. Don't talk about milking.
I don't remember that.
Oh my God. Yeah. And yeah, I did not like their sex scene. And Rune, whenever it's like sex is involved, we always go to his balls. I think like we do with Hunt sometimes too, but like Rune, I feel like there's a special focus on his
balls. I wonder why. Sarah, why?
That is his MO with the sex scene.
Anyway, I want to know, of all these men, which one would you date?
Which one? You know, after this glaring discussion about Rune, I don't know.
I love him the best.
Who's
though.
Your type? Who's your Rune was your favorite? Who's that's like the one you would date?
No, it would probably be Baxian.
Oh wow. Hard left.
Oh,
okay.
Katie
I can
says
see that.
Prince Adis is the one for me. You know, I kind of like
oh
that
my
too.
God, but we like barely know I him. Know. Is it because you picture him as Rysan? Therian's the one for me.
I knew that.
You did. I will get him into some therapy. I'll fix him.
Yeah, I don't know about Prince Adis. I feel like I don't know him enough. And also, what we do know of him is that he fell in love with the lady who committed a genocide.
Oh, Helene? Is that her name?
Was it Helene or was it the real lady? The big lady. What is her name? The big kahuna? Thea.
Thea.
The overlord. That's a bit of a red flag, Katie says. Bit of a red flag. And then second choice, I guess I would have to say Hunt. Because he is pretty emotionally evolved.
Yeah, he is. Especially like... men. Especially, we didn't even talk about that in chapter 41 when the Ocean Queen asks Hunt about using Hill, and even though that he's been hunting them for thousands of years, like, what does he think? And he basically like supports Bryce.
But there was but he does state that he's like traumatized by it, but I trust her.
Mm-hmm.
What were you gonna say?
I'm just remembering like the little fights that they have later on in the book. But I think it's mostly Bryce.
Yeah. Well, they start to fight because he's still not 100% behind the idea of overthrowing them because he's lost so many loved ones to the cause. And he doesn't want that to happen to them.
Yeah, his trauma.
And he has a lot of trauma. And Bryce is like, fuck you. You have to back me 100%. And like being so like... unempathetic about it in the moment. They have like a little pissing contest about like who's suffered more, I feel like, in these last few weeks, like him in the dungeons or her like not knowing what's happening with him in another world. Next week we're going to be digging into chapters 44 and 45, and those are two big chapters, which is why we wanted to kind of give them their time. They're two big like half an hour long chunks, and I can't wait till we get to a Avalon. I feel like so much fun stuff happens once we get to a Avalon.
Does it happen in part two or does it happen in part three? Well, I think it happens in part two because we still have until chapter six.
I think part three is not till the end of a Avalon. Like,
well, it was a bit of a short episode because we had a lot to read still.
Yeah, we're just coming off of a break, so we're catching up on a lot of stuff. So squeezing in those two extra chapters plus these chapters would have been a lot. Mm-hmm. but we'll be back next week. And of course, tomorrow, Friday, we have the main show. And that was a really fun episode. We had Chloe on talking Gen Z, millennial, and all the other generations. And like,
some
the conversations.
Fun stories in...
Oh, lots of fun stories in tea time. Tea time.
From my trip to New Zealand.
Yeah, Natasha went to New Zealand. We got a fun story from Chloe's on Tea Time, too. So if you don't know, Fangirl Tea Time is our Patreon-only extra half an hour that's added to the main show every week if you're a patron from the $5 level up. Our podcast is viewer-supported. So if you want to support the show even more than you are by listening, and we appreciate you listening and being here so much, but if you want to support us further, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/@thoseforkingfangirls, and we have an extra show every week called Fangirl Tea Time, where we talk about our personal lives and stories and stuff we're going through that you're probably going through too. And it's a super fun community. And you get the show without ads. All the shows are without ads. And you get to come to the recordings and chat with us like Katie has been doing today, which is so fun. And we release those every Friday. And of course, Chapter Cut comes out every Thursday. You can follow us on Instagram at Those Working Fangirls. We have a visual version of the main show every week on our youtube.com/@thoseworkingfangirls. And all these links are in the show notes. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha. And also, Katie says, please join in the chat. Oh, I talk too much. You don't, Katie. We love you.
You don't. We love that you're here. You're like the expert on these books, too. So it's really nice to have you chime in when we said something wrong or something or don't know something.
I'm Natasha.
I'm Christine. We'll see you next time. Bye, y'all.
Bye.